This is Talent in the Age of AI, the podcast helping leaders navigate what AI means for their people, their culture, and their future. We talk with the thinkers and practitioners shaping how we work, learn, and lead, and what it takes to keep talent growing in a world that's constantly changing. We create, curate, and connect the insights and the community that helps leaders build AI confidence in themselves and in their teams. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Talent in the Age of AI podcast, where we discuss how AI is working in the talent development, HR, and executive leadership sphere. Our partner in bringing you this podcast is What's Good Productions and our fabulous Brianna Jovan, and we're so happy to have her as an exquisite partner that really takes good care of us, and I recommend her company greatly. Today's guests I'm so excited about are the co-founders of Maven Collective. And I'm going to read a little bit from the website, and then we're going to introduce you and let them take off and tell you what they do for women in AI. And I love that they're a collective, and they can tell you more about how that works and how they live in the collective community. The tagline is AI literacy, business development, and nervous system support for women building the future. And I really love the idea of nervous system support, because all entrepreneurs or anyone running a business knows it is about our nerves, our courage, and settling that we're doing the right thing when we're doing it. And they're shaping the future with that. And they know that women aren't just learning about AI. They're shaping the future with it. But the adoption of AI by women isn't where it needs to be. And so this is where women founders turn ideas into thriving businesses, AI literacy, business development, and mindset support designed for the whole founder. So I'm pleased to introduce you today to Emily Skeen.
Hello.
And Kate Telge.
Hi. Thanks so much.
Hi, ladies. Thank you so much. So if I've accurately set up the business, would you kind of couple that thought with your why?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we are very passionate about making sure women's missions succeed. You know, I think all of us are aware of what's happening in the world and in our country and how much turmoil there is, and large corporations, a lot of people aren't happy with the way things are going. And we feel very strongly that we need women in positions of power, and we need women's voices heard, and we need women not to just have a seat at the table, but to be leading this technological wave. And we see that mission coming to life through founders and supporting the work that they do, and whatever missions are important to them, we want to support.
And Emily, what's your why? Or did Kate basically embrace it all?
I mean, that is it for me as well. Advancing women's missions is the key to everything that we're doing. So when we're talking about these three pillars of business development, AI literacy, and then also mindset, all of that is injected into helping women's missions advance.
I love that. What are the stats on women's adoption of AI and their AI literacy?
So I have these pulled up. So apologies if I'm looking over, but women roughly are 20 to 25% less likely than men to use Gen AI tools in professional and personal contexts. Approximately 32% of men use AI at work compared to 23% of women. Daily usage is 36% of men compared to 25% of women. 50% of men use AI weekly versus 40% of women. So you can just see across the board, there's disparities in the usage and adoption rates, particularly in women over the age of 47, I believe, which is where we really start to see the gap widen.
I think you told me when we briefed on this that a lot of it might be a woman's mindset, Emily, you know, about maybe that's cheating to use AI at work and use it as a leg up where men don't. And it's not a moral thing. It's just how women think, maybe.
Yeah, I think there's generally a lack of trust when it comes to new technology, and women tend to think about things more than men do, not to overgeneralize. But as you start to take on these new technologies that pose some sort of risk, you want to do that research. And so we're seeing on a pretty consistent basis that women are taking a little bit longer to adopt new technology because they are starting to think about trust, they're thinking about security, they're thinking about what the potential repercussions and impact could be if they aren't fully aware of the risks when taking on these new technologies at the beginning.
I love that. And so that's kind of part of the whole founder, right? In your three pillars, and it's adjusting mindset in that manner.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely education. Lowering a barrier to entry for any of these new technologies is just being able to have accessibility to the right information from a source that you can trust. And so that is really what our goal is when we are looking into this pillar of AI literacy, is being a resource that people can trust and also providing information in a way that is easy for them to take on and retain and use.
Tell me about your 6-week challenge and what goes on in that. What is it and how do you apply and what happens?
Kate, you want to take that one?
Sure. So we're launching our 6-week Founder Foundations Challenge today, actually, where we have founders coming in to help validate their business idea, whether this is a thing that they want to go all in on, or they're like, actually, nope, not this one. It's my other idea. Or they're already invested and they want to have some structure and clarity around what they're doing. There are a million billion decisions that you have to make when you're starting a company, as I'm sure you are aware, even just running an organization. And so we're helping to streamline that with expert frameworks, guidance, a cohort of women building along with you. And so you go through, you create an AI accountability system, an accountability coach in your first week to help get you through the program and beyond. And then we go over frameworks for customer modeling, business development. Let's see what else. We do financial modeling. We're doing AI and automations, and then experiments and testing. Also that people are directed clearly through on this journey of like, do this, then this, then this, then this, so that we can help simplify all of the chaos and give founders the structure and strategy that they need to be successful and to determine if this is the thing that they really want to do.
And it sounds like it's a safe space. You're among others who are in your boat and they're learning and they want to be vulnerable to say the words, I don't really know what it is, how to use it.
It can be extremely isolating to build, especially if you don't have a co-founder. But especially if you're used to going from a team environment, maybe a corporate job or some sort of being in an office, and then you're building alone, I think a lot of our biggest fears and anxieties and insecurities can come front and center, and we have to face them. And you don't have to do it alone. You can do it with a group of other women who understand where you're at.
Yeah, I love that. That's the collective part of what you do, right? The community building.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can't wait to hear about at the end of 6 weeks, and maybe you'll share some testimonials with us. And then maybe we'll, you know, build a webinar or something around the core tenets and see if people would buy it on that. I think they will. A lot of our viewers are executives in corporations. They're in development, talent development, human resources, executive training, leadership. How can what you do apply to what they do?
Emily, do you want me to take this one?
You have it. You're welcome to.
Well, I think I was going to talk about what we do around the AI ethics piece, a big component of what we do is AI literacy. And we do these in-person events and we open them up to everyone, not just founders, because we're all barraged with AI nonstop, and it's impacting our lives personally, professionally, every single day in ways that we might not even realize. And so we bring women together to talk about what's happening, major headline news, different ways that these impacts are tangible to us, to our kids, to our families. And we just create a space to discuss, hey, what are the pros? What are the cons? How can we mitigate the damage? What's the optimistic viewpoint here? Where are the risks and watch outs? Just so that we can be more informed as women to make sure we're using this technology in our businesses and in our lives how we want to. We have some agency and we don't just feel like we're at the whim of a corporation telling us how to use the technology. And I think that's especially important for women, for anyone in a position of power at a corporation who is using this technology every single day, and they're figuring out, okay, how do I balance speed with security, or innovation with making sure that I'm doing no harm, and my data privacy and accuracy and people's jobs? It's a lot of new questions that people are having to grapple with every single day across industries. And so just being more informed and having more context around how the technology is created, who's creating, what's the purpose of it, and how do we keep ourselves safe, I think is important for anyone.
I believe you call it the AI Ethics Social Club.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could see a vice president, a leader in the talent development area, if he or she understands those statistics about uptake of AI in corporations among women and men, I would think there would want to be some, you know, equaling out of either based on the company's process and policies, but either just understanding that when they establish their ethics policies, their use policies, that they may be missing 50% of their base or whatever their composition is at their company. And they could have workshops among those women leaders, like you said, maybe bring you to the table. But it really could help just people be aware of the actual statistics and uptake in use, and then the responsibility of using it in the workplace, number one for my audience here, but in life.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of what we do as well is educate people on the new tools that are emerging. You see in corporate environments that they are very restrictive on the types of tools that they allow their employees to use. They really want to hone in what is actually being used on their devices, obviously for security risks, which is understandable. But at the same time, I think that creates a limit for your employees, and it limits creativity and exploration of this new technology that could actually be quite beneficial and quite helpful if you start to understand how they work, why you should use them versus just being told you can only use one tool at a time. And so what we try and do is create an environment where you get access to a number of different tools that Kate and I are constantly testing, our colleagues are constantly testing, and then we're trying to provide information to gain exposure to these new tools.
Well, and I think that'd be helpful too. I mean, everybody's learning. And mm-hmm. corporations have set rules based on what happened when they set them 6 months ago. Yeah. This is a exponentially evolving world. And for you to have your finger on the pulse and share what you know, and then a new tool may be exactly what a corporation out there wants and wants people to adopt and use. You know, our audience, when they're in their jobs, this is one part of their jobs. They're very, very busy. They're multifaceted. They're taking care mm-hmm. of a lot of things. So to have a trusted resource in this, and, you know, that new tools would apply to every employee, right?
Yeah.
Not just women. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to take a short break for some advertising, and then we'll be right back.
AI isn't just coming, it's here. But for HR and L&D leaders, the real challenge isn't the technology, it's translating AI into workforce capability and leadership behavior. At Talent in the Age of AI, we center everything around one question: so what? What does AI actually mean for how you develop people and prepare your organization? Don't just react to change, lead it. Become a member today at talentintheageofai.com.
Okay, we're back with Emily Skeen and Kate Telge from Maven Collective, and they are working to help women build more confidence and apply AI in the development of their business ideas and their business stature wherever they are. And I personally, as a woman founder of my company and CEO, I really appreciate what they're doing and how they're a great resource on the latest tools in AI and confidence in using them. So, you know, their prompts are really important, right, ladies? And I, you know, crap in, crap out. And then applying your brain to what AI tells you is the answer. Will you speak to that?
Go for it, Emily.
Well, I mean, I haven't heard crap in, crap out yet, but I love it. I'm absolutely going to adopt that. But yeah, I mean, you hear the buzzwords of prompt engineering and all of that. But at the end of the day, it is extremely important as you're using these tools, you have to understand that they are only working off of the information that you provide it. And so you can only have a level of expectation based on what you're actually feeding into these tools. So as you're starting to use them, as you are expecting a greater output, prompt engineering is so important. And there is definitely a structure and process that you should be following in order to get the best output. And also to limit the amount of time that you're having to spend on the back end making updates and doing that sort of thing. I know people tend to get a little bit overwhelmed with these LLMs just doing a bad job or not working well for them. But in all reality, it's only going to work for you if you are setting it up for success.
Yeah, and I'll chime in. I think that it's really important to have just a basic understanding of how the technology works and what an LLM is so that you can understand a little bit of what's happening behind the scenes. It's not magic. And I think a lot of people who aren't familiar with the technology just think, oh, well, Chat or Claude said this, so that's the truth. And, you know, I'm going to put my stamp on it. And it's the be all end all. But right. Once you really understand what's happening underneath the hood, you're like, oh, it's predicting the text based on what it's been trained on.
The prompt. Will you define LLM for our audience, please?
Large language model.
Large language model. And what does that really mean in a layperson's language? This is our audience, you know, they would need to know what that means.
It's essentially predicting text. So you put a prompt in, the AI has been trained on millions and millions and millions of data sets, and it's predicting what the next word would be based on its training. And so you really have to think about who's training it, how they're training it, and what they're training it on that's going to give you that outcome. So that's why you see and you hear about different LLMs having different outputs based on how they're trained. Like Grok might have one, what might tell you one thing that's maybe a little unhinged compared to LLM based on how they've been trained and what's gone into the training of those LLMs. So once you understand that, then you have agency to say, okay, that might not be the truth. Let me use my brain to verify this and to prompt better and to do my own research and then use it as a tool to finesse the output.
Yeah, it should stimulate creative, discerning thought in your own brain, right? We had another podcast guest that called AI her board of directors. Mm-hmm. You know, because she would put things out there. But one time she spent 4 hours on it pursuing a question. And I was amazed she had the patience for that because sometimes the more input you put in, it gets really confused. And it doesn't give you, it just can't figure out what you're trying to get at. And that is about prompts or responses to what it gives you. So I like the idea. I think I hear you say maybe you test a couple different LLMs with the same question and you don't just set it and forget it and assume that the one answer back is the answer that you can put forward.
Exactly.
Especially it's important for founders to be correct and strategic in their direction. And you know, this is like their board of directors, right? And you guys are at the helm and then you're helping people understand. You don't have a big staff, but you actually have the world.
Yeah. We always recommend experimentation, trying different LLMs, trying different prompts, changing one word of the prompt, updating your context window. So what information it has about you and your business or the problem you're trying to solve, and just playing and experimenting. And that's the best way to learn. And I think it bleeds into mindset a little bit because this can feel overwhelming. But if you remember that we're all learning, we're all new, this is new for everyone, it can give you a little bit more confidence to jump in and just try and just experiment. No one's behind at this point, which is kind of cool when it's this new for everyone.
Well, except women's adoption.
Well, that's the thing is, yeah, there can be that fear of like, I'm already behind. I'm just going to like bury my head in the sand and ignore this thing. So the message is we're all behind. We're all at the same place. The starting line is right there. This is new to everyone. We're all behind and no one's behind. So jump in.
Yeah, just start running.
Yeah.
Do you work with venture capitalists or family offices? Who's your target and how do you find them and how do you tell them about what you have to offer?
Our target currently are startup founders, early stage startup founders who have started their businesses less than, 16 months ago. We are really trying to get in front of them in more of these networking environments. So we're partnering with some local communities. We are engaging with people online. We're not yet working with VCs or investors. The goal for Maven in the next 3 years is to create this founder ecosystem. So being able to support from ideation to exit. So getting them to a point where they are able to pitch to VCs through our, programs and education, and then hopefully getting them funding and having successful exits, which I'm super excited about. So do you want to add anything to that, Kate?
No, I think that covers it.
I love that because I think founders don't think about an exit. And sometimes I'll tell you this, the startups that are funded by a lot of money, they're only thinking of the exit, right? The pressure to make millions fast so that investor can get out with triple their investment. That's a whole different kind of pressure on strategy, goals, implementation. So I hear you saying you're working with the founder with a real passion for her idea, but you're helping her think about, what will it take for you to get this afloat and successful? And then, by the way, you have to have an exit plan. Because where are you going toward what end? Who are you going to inspire somebody else to buy it? You're going to give it to your employees to own it? I mean, you want Lori Grenier to buy it,
Right. And I think it's important to showcase that there are different ways to play this game. There are different games to play and there's different ways to play this game. And we've been so ingrained with the VC model of growth at all costs, get that exit, exponential growth, et cetera, is the only game to play. And that's simply not true. And so we really want to dispel that myth and open up opportunities for women that might not align with them and their goals and what they want out of life. And that's okay.
Yeah, I love that. Well, you're Maven, M-A-I-V-E-N, collective.com. And we'll include that in the script for this podcast. Is there anything else either of you would like to add before we close out today?
Just want to say thank you for the opportunity and what you're doing to help people adopt this technology in a way that works for people, especially in talent. I mean, that's huge right now. It's such a hot topic and hot space. So just appreciate the work you're doing.
I appreciate your mission and what you're doing. And I am a huge fan. I'm going to hop on board in any way that I can. I encourage our audience to do the same thing. So again, Emily Skeen and Kate Telge with Maven Collective, thank you for your valuable time today. And if we get inquiries about how to find you, we'll be sure and let people know. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Talent in the Age of AI. If this conversation gave you new ways to grow in your own work and to better support your people, follow the show and share it with others in your HR and talent network. Members get even more. Full episode transcripts, extended show notes, and companion resources to help you put these insights into action. Learn more and join us at talentintheageofai.com. We're here to help leaders create, curate, and connect what's needed to build tomorrow's workforce today. See you next time.